Oh, praise the Lord. So Matthew, the 4th chapter. I'm going to be reading the 18th verse. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word. Because it is your word that is a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. It's your word that directs us and guides us to your very throne room, Father, that our lives would please you, that our lives would reflect you, so that our world would see your goodness, and your grace, and your mercy, and that, Father, your kingdom would be filled with souls. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I've titled my message this morning, Fishing for Men. I don't know if anyone could kind of get an idea of what we were talking about, but we're talking about fishing for men. Now, Jesus called these two disciples, and he already knew they knew how to fish, amen? He already knew they were busy. They didn't have time to follow Jesus. They were busy making a living. But Jesus called them, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know, a lot of times we get distracted and we think that we're too busy to follow Jesus. But if we just follow Jesus, all of a sudden we realize what our life will start to take shape in such a way that we realize that he's got a plan for us. And his plan for us is to become fishermen. Now, I brought this about on Father's Day for a reason. Because it's usually the fathers that teach the sons and the daughters. If you don't have sons, I didn't have sons, so I taught my daughters how to fish. And it's usually the men who are bringing up their children that are their guiding principles. They lay down those things. They begin to make disciples of their children. Amen? And I will say this, men, that is your greatest ministry, is to your family. It comes before church. It comes before whatever other ministry you have. So if your light is shining, if you're following Jesus, if you're becoming fishers of men, your first catch is going to be your family. Come on now. Somebody shout me down here because this is real. So many times we focus on something outside of our family when God is wanting to focus inside our family. But the first thing that Jesus called them to do was to what? What? Follow him. Follow him, amen? They needed to learn. They needed to study. They needed to figure out, you know, what it was God was doing. What it was God wanted from them. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. Second Timothy 2, verse 15. Word says, study to show yourself approved to the pastor. Nope. All right. Somebody's listening out there. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's look at the scripture a minute. First it says to study. If we don't study, we have no clue what the entire subject matter is, do we? If we don't get to know God, if we don't get to study God, if we don't get to understand what God wants, we're lost. We have no clue. We're like sheep without a shepherd, amen? And so many times, there's Bibles sitting on somebody's shelf that hasn't been opened in months or years. They're just collecting dust. And the individuals in that home have no clue what is contained in these scriptures. And that's why Jesus, when he called his disciples, he said, follow me. In other words, he's saying, learn from me. Let me show you the way. Dads, are we telling our family, follow me? Uh-oh. Got quiet. Are we telling our families, our wife and our children, follow after me because I'm following after God and I'm going to do the best I can to lead you down the path you're supposed to go? That's our job in our homes, men. Amen? Come on now, you guys got to help me preach, you know that. It gets too quiet in here, I start getting scared. We have to study and find out what Jesus is all about. We don't know anything about his grace and mercy until we're introduced to it. Amen?
Amen.
And what better way to introduce our family, our children, to the grace of God than to set an example for them to follow Jesus? His grace is so simple. If we just learn a few verses, if we practice those verses, if we get instilled in our spirits those verses, John 3:16 and 17 are one of my favorites. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But see, that's just the first part of it. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved. Do we understand that God loved us so much that he wants to spend eternity with us? That should get a big shout of amen. I mean, he wants to spend eternity with me. That should set our hearts just all joyful, and we should be just jumping up and down and saying, thank you, Jesus. Because we were separated from him. We had no pathway to him. But then he sent Jesus, and Jesus says, come and follow me. We could go further and learn the Roman road. But it's all very simple. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you realize that? Do we teach our children and our wives that? Men, I'm talking to you this morning because God set us as the leaders, as the example in our homes. And so many times we delegate that authority to somebody else. Oh, the Sunday school teacher will teach it to them. Oh, the preacher will preach it to them. Instead of being the one that comes and stands and says, follow after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Amen? The next thing about fishing, you know, if we're going to be fishing, we have to have the right equipment, amen? You're not going to go fishing with something else than a fishing pole or a net. It just doesn't work. Well, maybe a bow and arrow, you know. There's some people that fish with bows. But if we don't have the correct equipment and learn to utilize that equipment, we're not going to be very successful. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Now, we've talked about these verses before. There's nothing new here. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, starting at verse 13, where it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, I want to talk about just that little bit of scripture right there. Notice it says, "Take unto you the piece of armor that you desire." Okay, maybe you're listening. It says, "Take unto you the whole armor." You see, we need it all. We can't put some of it away and say that, this I don't really need this part. We need the whole armor of God to stand. And then notice it says, when we've done all we can do to stand, stand. Don't quit. Stay where you're at. Do what you know to do. Keep that armor ready. Yes. You know, one thing about the armor that is interesting, the armor was never meant to be set on a little plaque or some kind of thing like you see in a museum all shinied up. The armor was meant to do battle. Do you understand that? The armor is meant to do battle. And battle is what we're called to do. Spiritual battle is so important. It goes on. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And then the last piece of armor. Notice there's no break here. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." That prayer is so, so, so important. A lot of times we hear messages on the armor of God and they just totally leave that verse out. Anybody ever hear those messages? I've heard lots of them. They don't talk about the prayer, the standing, the interceding, the thing that keeps the strength within me. Now, don't nobody raise your hand. Don't nobody shout this out. But men, how often have your children, how often has your wife seeing you on your knees praying and interceding for them? If they don't, we're falling short. Because we're the example. The same way Jesus was the example to the disciples. It was that same thing that Jesus, they took them in and he lived with them. He walked with them on a daily basis. There's no one that knew Jesus more intimately than the disciples. So how often, men, how often do our wives and children see us interceding for them? Battling that spiritual battle, knowing that the enemy wants their souls. Knowing that the enemy is going to send everything to distract them. if we're not. Then I challenge you this morning, begin. Begin today. It's never too late, but begin. Because if we never begin, we'll never end. We need to be equipped. We need the right equipment. That's what this is all about, having the right equipment. Ouch. That thing's got me about four times already. How many of you see this lure? We're not going to go fishing for minnows with this. Amen? We've got to have the right equipment. We must be equipped with the armor of God. I'll try to get it back up there without catching me again. Ha! I did it. The next thing we have to have is bait. Now, don't get me wrong, bait is not a deceiving thing. Bait is something that attracts, something that causes the fish to want to see what that is, to want to taste it, to want to get hold of it. Do we have a river of life flowing out of us, men? Is that river flowing out of us to the place where our wives and our family wants to know Jesus because they see Jesus in me? Do we have the correct things? Or are we so distracted with the world? I'm not saying these things to belittle anyone. I'm saying it to encourage you to become a disciple of Jesus, to follow Him, so that you will have those following you. But that doesn't excite anybody. Psalm 34. Verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him." David knew there was a taste of God that he could literally taste and see that God is good. That God is wanting to deliver us from the snares of the enemy. That's our bait, to know that God is good because we've tasted it. Anybody ever tasted whatever piece of food of any kind, and when you first saw it, you thought, "Nah, I don't think so." And then you taste it, and all of a sudden, "Hey, this is pretty good." Now, I grew up in a home that my mom wasn't much of a cook, and she cooked like five or six things over and over again, so I never got to taste a lot of food. When I went into the Navy in boot camp, I saw all this food lined up, and I looked at it, and I thought, ugh. You know, I'd never seen these things. But I started tasting. Not because I wanted to, because I was hungry. I like to starve to death the first couple weeks, because all this food that I'd never seen was all of a sudden in front of me. And other people were eating it, so it had to be good, right? Is our life proclaiming Christ in such a way that those around us see and want a taste of the same thing that we have. Psalm 119. Come on. Psalm 119, verse 108. Well, I had to wrote that down wrong because that is not the scripture that I was looking for. So we're going to go on. Not the first time. Trying to remember what I was putting there, but it has to do with having the correct bait. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Starting at verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Did you hear that? My preaching was in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's what Paul was telling them. He wasn't telling them. Now, Paul was an educated man for his day. Amen? We all realize that. He was a Pharisee. In fact, he says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was up there. I was educated. I could have had flowery speech had I wanted to. But he says, I came to you with the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. How often do we demonstrate the power of the Spirit? See, we can preach all kinds of flowery messages, but they'll do no good. Or I should say very little good if we don't have the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. We can preach all day long, and if our life doesn't reflect what we're saying, guess what? We'll not have an audience. They'll just go, you're no different than the rest. See, but we have something that is good. It tastes good. It is good because it is the power of the Spirit of God. Well, at least I got a few amens. We must have the right bait. And like I said, bait is not something to catch in deception. Bait is something that attracts. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify you for it. No. Let your light shine before men that they see your good works, but they glorify the Father. Everything I do should glorify the Father. It should attract the world into seeing the goodness of God. I don't know who it was that sang the song, a country singer, years ago. I didn't look it up because I don't really care. But there was a country singer years ago that sang a song, Looking for Love. in all the wrong places. Amen? See, the world knows that they're looking for love. They just don't know where to look for it. But if we just allow that love to reach out and touch them where they're at, if we just get out of these four walls, out of our homes, and start touching people where they're at with the love of God, with the demonstration of the power of the Spirit, we'll see the world start looking differently. And they'll start wanting to know and start asking questions. Matthew 28, these are the words of Jesus. I know we know these scriptures, we've talked about them before. Matthew 28. Jesus says this starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power, and we were just talking about having the demonstration of power in the Spirit. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, excuse me just a second. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. This word teach in the Greek is the word mathiuob, and it means intransitively to become a pupil. Transitively to disciple. That's why a lot of times some of the other translations will say, go and make disciples. That transitively is very important. Because transitively means that I'm transferring something that I have to someone else. That's what it means when you're talking about linguistics. The teacher, the disciple, the making of the disciple. I'm transferring what God has given me. The same way Jesus transferred what he came to bring to the disciples, he transferred it to them. And he said right here, all power is given me. Now go. We'll never catch fish in our front yards, unless you got a pond there. We'll never catch fish in the dirt. In our front yards. We gotta go. We gotta go where the fish are. We gotta be where they are. We've learned about fishing. We've got the right equipment, but if we never go, if we just keep all that, it does us no good. And that's what Jesus was all about. That's why he called them. And he first said, follow me. Learn from me, become my disciple. And then, as that information is transferred to you, as that power of the Holy Spirit is transferred to you, you will become fishers of men. Amen? That ought to get a shout from somebody. Men, it's time that we stopped expecting someone else to do what God has ordained us to do in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. It's time for the men to stand and become disciples. Disciples that are soldiers, that are willing to fight the spiritual battle, that are willing to stand when it gets hard, that are willing to be the example, even when we have those around us making fun of us, calling us names. It's what they did to Jesus, didn't they? They called him all kinds of names. And when that didn't work, they started trying to stone him. And when that didn't work, eventually they crucified him. They crucified him. All because he loved. All because he loved. So I want to challenge you men. Ladies too, but men, I'm speaking specifically to you this morning. Become the leader that God ordained in your families. Become the example that your wife and children want to emulate. Become what they need to bring them to the throne room of God, so that they too can taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.